But it's by Esther. So this is the beginning of the W story and introduction by Esther. Esther Dalvin, sorry.
Okay, so as the drawer said, I'm going to make another introduction, and this time to the W story. And I want to make it visual, so lots of pictures and some movies about it. And you will find the videos at the address there, so at my page. And I'm going to show you the W story, starting from braids and looking at configuration spaces of rings that move in R3, as the drawer said last week. But I will start from another viewpoint, and I will start from braids, and mainly I will talk about braids here. Only in the end I will switch to knots. So as you know, you can describe braids, the braid group, with the generators, which are the crossings, and some relations, and two kinds of relations. The first relation is the radio master tree, and the second one is just the crossing switch. And I want to show it by a movie.
There is sound.
No, here I have no sound. It's just that a small part of a movie about braids that I made in my PhD thesis. So here people are dancing and braiding strands. And in fact, they are braids in an annulus, but I don't mind that at this point. And they also do the inverse braids to undo them.
Who are these people?
They are German people. I don't know where it is. So I only care how the dancers move in the plane. Or to formalize it, I'm going to look at the configuration space of points that move in a disk. So to keep track of the movement, I can turn the time in a special dimension. And in this case, it is the vertical axis. So I can draw the braid following the path described by each dancer. And in this way, we can have a geometric braid, so the usual one. But then I'm considering a special class of braids, of dances, where the dancers are in pairs, and they always hold hands. And they can turn and pass one over the other, and that's just these movements. And this means that we are looking at arcs that move, keeping the endpoints on a disk. And the arcs are in the disk across an interval. And as before, we can construct a braid, just keeping track of the endpoints of the arcs in the disk. And these kind of braids will be a subgroup of the braid group, with the obvious way of composing braids. And they are called the Hilden subgroup. So these are the generators of this subgroup. An arc can switch, or two couples or two arcs can exchange positions. And one arc can pass under the other one. So these are the generators, and they were found in the 70s by Hilden. To look at the relations, well, I will say something after that. And this subgroup is useful because if we want to close the braids in this way with a plat closure, this putting arcs over and under the strands, we can say whether two braids give the same link or not. if we compose a braid with these Hilden elements, or add the two strands and a crossing like that, when we close the braid, we can retract the arcs, and we will get the same knot as the original one. And actually, this is a if and only if. So this is a theorem of Biermann, and it says that two braids closed with the plait closure give the same knot if and only if we can go from one braid to the other with a sequence of moves of the two kinds, the composition with hidden elements, and this kind of move that is a stabilization where you add two strands and one crossing. Okay. So here is the Hilden group. It's called also the group of wickets, because you have these arcs that look like the wickets in the game of croquet. And the generators are of three kinds, and there are many relations to describe this group. They were found by Tone in his PhD thesis, and I'm not going to describe them. When you look at the Hilden group, you can also, if you mirror the arcs with an horizontal plane, like in the picture there, you will get rings. So if you double the arcs, you will get the rings, and you can look at the configuration space of these rings that move in space. And you will have almost the same generators. That is, one ring can pass through another, two rings can exchange positions, and one ring can flip over. But I will not consider the last thing when a ring flips, and I will only consider rings that are parallel to a given plane. So this is what I mean. I have rings that move in space, and they always are parallel, they are always horizontal in this case, always parallel to a given plane. And I want to look at the configuration spaces as the configuration space of these movements. So if we do the same construction as before, that is turn time into a special dimension and look at the path described by this object, we will get a surface, because the rings move in R3, so we add a spatial coordinate, and times become spatial, and so we will be in R4. And so we will get some surfaces in R4. And to visualize them, I will go a step back and look at how we visualize the 3D in 2D, and then move forward to see how to visualize 4D in 2D or even in 3D or even in 2D. So the first thing we can do when we try to visualize 3D objects in two dimensions is to project the objects. And I'm sure you all have seen maps like this, where you have a projection and the color gives the eighth of the points. So you have a scale that gives the elevation, and red is higher in the third dimension, and blue is lower. And so you can do...
Do you know that specific mountain, which one is it?
No, I don't know.
Is it on Earth?
No idea. I found it on the internet.
Okay, because it seems to have a crater on the bottom, on the bottom, which is not typical for mountains on Earth. Okay.
Okay. And if you do the same with knots, you can either use color to indicate the third dimension, or as usual, you can use the crossing. So you need a projection plus more information at the crossings. And this is, you just project the north. And then specify which arc goes over and under. And this is what you can do also with surfaces in four dimension. So you can do the same, that is, project a surface and put color on it to give the eighth of the fourth coordinate, like in the picture here on the left. Well, here red is higher and green is lower. And in the lines of intersections, the surfaces have different eighth, so that the intersection are only an artifact of the projection and not the surface. But we don't need to know which point is which height, just need to know what happens in the crossings. So instead of putting color, we can break the surfaces near the crossing, near the intersections, like on the right. And just so that the red surface there is over in the first dimension, and the blue one is under. And it's exactly the same as what we are doing with the crossings in the plane projection. So, and here, going back to 2D, to describe the isotopies between links, we use the Rademeister moves. Well, I haven't shown them, but I'm sure you all know about them. So you can do the same with the surfaces and look for moves that change the projection but not the surface in L4. And these are called Rosman moves, and I'm not going to show them right now, but it's just the same as the Rademeister moves. Only you have more, you have seven or six. And also the singularities of the projections are of two kinds, not only lines of double points, but you have pinch points like here, where, well, like they are another kind of singularity. Okay, and there's another way to look at to visualize objects in one dimension less, and this is the movie language. You just slice the object and keep and look at the image in one dimension less, like here. I want to run through the object with a plane and look at the intersection of the knot with a plane. So I will see just points appearing and dancing and then disappearing. So I'm doing the inverse operation of before. Instead of turning time into a special dimension, I'm turning a special dimension into time. And if you want to make a static picture of that, you have to choose a sufficient number of planes and look at intersections. So here you have a movie of the knot, and you can reconstruct the knot from it. And of course you can also look at moves that change the knot here, but I'm showing just one of them, because I don't think you can see much from them. So this is the Rademeister 3 move. And I want to show it in the movie language. This movie describes the braid at the beginning, And then while I move it, I move just the frames on the left. So practically what we get is a movie of movies. And it's very difficult to retrieve the information from this movie of movies, like visually. So if we try to do the same for four dimensions, we will have links that appear, then they can deform like that, and then disappear. And I show them on a projection of the surface so that you can see a little better what's going on. And I'm sure that Paolo likes these pictures a lot.
Why Paolo?
He gave an example of one link that he studies in this way. So, if you want to make a movie of them, you have just to choose some of the frames and put them in a row. And in this picture, they go from bottom left, from top left to bottom left, and then on the right. And you can, all the informations about the surface are in these frames, but it's not very easy to understand what's going on globally. You can just see the difference between a picture and the following one, but it's very difficult to reconstruct a whole surface. And of course, you can also look at the moves that give isotopies of surface in this case. But you will have a lot of them. But in our case, we are lucky because when we move just rings, we will have something very, very specific, very easy. And we will have tubes in R4 because at each level, if we slice, so at each level, we will have just rings, just the unlink that moves in space. And so, we will have just the rings moving. And if we draw the surfaces, we will have tubes that have a very special kind of intersections. All the intersections are of the ribbon type. Because all the intersections come from this movie, where one ring goes through another one. So if you want to look at the intersection, they are just here when one ring is going through the other, and this is exactly the ribbon singularity, because you can put a disk, a 3 disk. Okay, so the surface, the tubes in 4D will bound a 3 disk that is given by the interior of the disks. You can look at them. So, when you have the unlink, you can put disks inside them. And if you look at a movie of that, the only way the interiors of these disks can intersect is when one ring is inside the other. And this means that in this case, we will have one disk is totally, is a two disk inside the one of the rings, and it's inside the other one. So this is precisely the ribbon singularity. Okay, I have the same pictures. So, okay. And so our tubes are not so complicated as generic surfaces in four space, and we can describe them in another way. So from here, we can make a picture of them like that, just looking at the boundary of the projections, and then from here we can make a diagram like this. So if you check, you can interpret the middle picture as tubes in 4D, and you can get from the and you also can get from the diagram on the top to the middle one. So going from the top to the bottom is called the tube construction by Sato, or you can also call it like an inflation, because you add the dimensions. And what I mean is this: you start from a diagram and you inflate it to have a braid, and this will be a Hilden braid. And I've put ribbons inside in this braid and then inflated it to have the tubes in 4D. Okay. So in this way, with the tube construction, you start from two types of crossings, the virtual ones that are below and the real crossings that are above. And you replace them with tubes in 4D, as shown here. And if we start with a virtual crossing, that is, we are exchanging the rings, maybe in this way, I want to show you that exchanging them in turning clockwise or anti-clockwise is the same. So here is one way of realizing a virtual crossing in with tubes, and here is the other way, where the red passes in front of the yellow tube. So if you look at these tubes projected to the plane where the rings are moving, you can then move these surfaces like that in space. And so you'll get the other kind of crossing. And if you look at the projections of the tubes while this is happening, so one tube goes through the other one. And this is another way of visualizing it. Here one tube goes through the other, but it's always under the, so the red one is always over the blue one, so you can unlink them, so they are not really linked, and can pass through the other in both ways. So the red one can also pass under the blue one. So this was a virtual crossing, and we have also the other crossing, that is the real one, where there is the ribbon singularity. So if you look on the left, we have the same crossing as in the W case. We have the real crossing and the virtual ones. So we can look at the relations that we put on them. They are the Rademeister relations on the crossings, and the virtual one between the virtual crossings. And then, as we saw last week, we have this detour move that moves one strand across a crossing, and the overcrossing commute, where one strand that goes over the two strands can pass through a virtual crossing. And all these moves describe some isotopies in four space. For example, here I show a Rademeister 2 move. We have one ring that passes through the other and then in the other direction. So if you want to describe it by cubes, we will have something like this. And on the right, I show it in the movie language. And these are the same because in each frame I have a knot, so I can project it and have a diagram. And when you move one tube through the other, it's like moving the rings one through the other, and you can undo this knotting. So this really means that you are doing a Rademeister 2 move. Moreover, in braids, we can have I've said how to make this diagram into that cubes, but so I'm cheating a little bit because you also need orientations, and I keep the orientation from the braids. But you can also have the other movement where the red ring goes through the yellow one in the wrong direction. It's not the one that is shown on the handout, because there, starting from the bottom, the red ring passes over in the fourth dimension, and here it passes under. So we have no way to describe this in the diagrams. But we can introduce two virtual crossings, rotating the tubes, and we will have a way to describe this diagram now, because it's the inverse of a crossing. This is the inverse of this crossing. So we now have a way to describe also this tube in our diagram language. Okay. So, in this way, we can associate any torus knot or any ribbon braid with some diagram. And in such a way that when we tube the diagram, we will have the same We will have a knot or a break that is isotopic to the original one. And instead of braids, now I'm considering torus knots, because when you take a diagram of a knot, you can make it into a torus in 4D with this construction. If you want a sphere in R4, you need a diagram. Maybe well, if you start from a diagram like this, you will have a sphere in R4 because you put cups on the ends. But if you start from a usual knot, when you do this construction, this tubing construction, you will get the torus, because this is closed and you will get a closed tube. So this is why I'm looking at torus knots, and they are ribbon because of the type of the singularities. So to any diagrams of a knot, to any diagram of a knot, I can associate a tube. So with the tube we can associate this ribbon torus knot, and we can also do vice versa. And so, as I said before, if you can deform one diagram into another using the W moves, then what you get as a ribbon torus knot will be isotopic. And the question is, does vice versa hold? That is, if you have so the W moves are enough to describe the isotopies of tubes in R4, and this is not the case, because it can play with orientation and mirror images and get two diagrams that give the same tubes in R4, but this is a very special case, and the question is open for other. So it is not known if this is the case or not, unless we are in this very specific case where we can while we play with orientation and mirror images. So this is all that I wanted to say.
So there seem to be more, or no?
Just the ribbon story here. Just wanted to show how the ribbon knots looks like, and on the left I haven't drawn the knot, but just the disc bounded by the knot, and it has only ribbon singularities because the singularities are just here and here. That is on the red part. They span the ribbon, so you have a singularity like that. And on the green part, the singularity is entirely inside the ribbon. And you can do the same with one dimension higher. You have a surface, and there the disk bounded by this surface is the interior of that tube. And there you have ribbon singularities too, because the only singularities are here, and they are the same type as one dimensionless.
Thank you. So maybe I will continue.
Yeah.
So sorry, let me just turn on the lights. My computer broke, so I'm going to use no computers today. Sorry, I don't know how to do that. But I hope to use computers tomorrow again. Say some things very briefly now and continue after the break. So Esther was telling us about, well, knotting in R4 with some pictures, and I want to make it a little bit more systematic. So I want to describe the space of knots in R4 that I will care about, except it's not a space of knots, it's a space of knotted objects. It's not that I care only about knots, but about all sorts of knotting that can happen in R4. So the title is, I'm going to describe the W world. Sorry, the W world. I've already described the U universe, and later will come the V void. The W world is made of the following thing. It's a circuit algebra. I mentioned what it is before, and I will mention again later. It has a number of generators, it has a number of relations, and it has a number of auxiliary operations. And this as it is just an algebraic gadget, okay? It's a circuit algebra, generators, relations, etc. And it maps, so anything in this circuit algebra can be interpreted as two-dimensional knotted objects in R4, okay? So my goal for now is to just go over the list of things that can happen in R4 that later I may want to study. Okay? So I guess let's start with the W generators, then move on to the W relations and so on. We can run it in more or less in parallel. So what are the W generators? So Esther mentioned a few of those, but there are a few more as well. Okay, so the W generators include the virtual crossing. Okay, well, you see, if I'm describing an algebraic gadget, I don't need to tell you anything about it. This is the generator. Okay, and the fact that I'm saying circuit algebra will mean that I'm allowing myself to connect such thing to each other so long as I make circuits, so I'm connecting ends to ends. But of course this does have a four-dimensional interpretation, and the four-dimensional interpretation is the one Esther mentioned. So you take two rings, here are the two rings, I forgot my rings in my office, and you let them fly past each other, not through each other, just past each other. It doesn't matter which way they fly past each other. But their behavior at infinity is prescribed, okay? And in fact, to be honest, this is sort of the non-generator, because when you talk about a circuit algebra, this is automatically inside. I didn't need to even specify it, okay? Then there is the more interesting generator, the crossing. And the crossing means one ring flying through each other. Okay? And by convention, the lower ring flies through the upper ring. Okay? Now, as Esther mentioned,
the objects I will study in R4 will always be ribbon objects, okay? And in fact, here you can already see it. So ribbon object means that every tube, so right, when I look at the image of a line in R4, it's interpreted as a motion of a ring, which amounts to being a tube, but this tube bounds a solid tube, okay? And these solid tubes do have singularities, but only a prescribed list of singularities. So maybe I should have said here, ribbon, and I may as well give a brief description of what does ribbon mean, okay? So ribbon mean bounds a solid with singularities. Now, which solid is it will depend on what type of knot I'm talking about. So right now I'm still talking about knotted tubes, and then the solid will be a solid tube. If I'm talking about knotted surfaces later, it might be a handle body. Okay, but basically the obvious thing that comes to mind, okay? So it bounds a solid with singularities, where the singularities are either of two types. So, sorry, of one type only, sorry. The type being, if this is the tube, two such tube can sort of pass through each other like the picture Esther made with the rings, and the corresponding singularity is that on one side, you know what, I should have drawn it differently. So on one side of the parameter space, okay, if I parameterize everything, then solid tubes parameterize everything, so I'll get two solid tubes, one parameterizing this side and another one parameterizing the other side. And on the lower side, the ones that go through, the singularity is like a membrane that cuts through the whole thing. And on the upper side, I only see a disc deep inside the tube. So these are the only singularities allowed. And by the way, if I'm at it and describing the topology in R4 in a little bit more detail, then there are two further things that you should note. One is that the surfaces I care about are always oriented. And if I talk about tubes, they also carry a one-dimensional orientation. So one side is called the beginning and the other is called the end. Okay. Then Esther mentioned one other generator. And then she said that she will not talk about it much more, and in fact I don't want to talk about it too much either. But this is the when, or the ring that flies, flip over, and continues flying. Okay? Again, unfortunately, I don't have my drawing with me, but this locally looks a little bit like a Klein bottle picture. Okay? Then there are a few generators that I will use that Esther didn't mention. Oh, sorry, there was one more that Esther did mention, but only in passing. There is a tube end. Okay? So a tube end just is interpreted as a cap. Okay? Or if you wish, it's a tube that flies and then shrinks to nothing. Okay? But then there is more. So there is the non-interesting vertex, so the smooth vertex, and the smooth vertex is the thing that happens, it's basically the pair of pans vertex. So it is interpreted in R4 as, the usual pair of pans. Okay? And if you want to think of it as flying rings, I guess let them fly from the top to the bottom this time. So I have two rings, they fly until they're tangent, and then they become, well, they have the tangency kind of, I have a subtle of the tangency, and they become one big ring that continues to fly. Okay? So this is one type of, this is the non-interesting vertex. Why non-interesting? It just doesn't lead to interesting algebra. A priori, you would think that it is interesting, but it isn't. Okay? And then there is the interesting vertex, which means something else, which is something else. And let me first time draw it incorrectly, and then draw it correctly. So the interesting vertex is a completely different four-dimensional behavior. I have two rings, so now I'm flying from the bottom to the top. I have two rings flying to each other, but instead of merging like this, they one flies under the other until they coincide, and then when they coincide, they become one and fly together. Okay, so that's yet another type of four-dimensional knotting or local behavior I could have, and this is a singular behavior. So near the point when the two rings meet, join, the parameter space is not a manifold. This is here everything is smooth. It's completely a manifold. But here, for a slight little point, you have a singularity, not a manifold. Okay? And this is the analog in the U world of a vertex in a graph. If you're talking about a knotted graph, it is also slight, for a short interval of time, it's not a manifold. So this is the analog of a vertex in a graph. And again, I guess I cannot really draw it in 4D, but the closest I can do is to draw a picture like this. So if you inflate all of these two tubes, this is the picture you will get. Now, the reason I'm slightly lying here is because this comes in two flavors. There is the flavor where my right hand ring comes under and merges, and the flavor in which it comes over and merges. Okay, so the one way to indicate the difference is to break it a little bit, because you see, remember, a broken line following this convention means come from below. So there is this, and then there is that. Okay. But then, in the world, I'm still talking about objects, not about the relations between them. But then in the W world, there is a little bit more. So, you know what, I think I maybe should not show the more right now, but I'll only indicate roughly where it is going. The point is that I can also note one-dimensional things in R4. Okay, or embed one-dimensional things in R4. In themselves, they are not knotted. Okay, but along with the two-dimensional things, they could be knotted. So I could be talking about one-dimensional things as well, and then they would have their own little universe. So they could have vertices. There could be virtual crossings between them, but there can't be real crossings. This has no meaning. Okay? And one-dimensional things could go under two-dimensional things, but not over. Because remember, this is interpreted as a tube, and this is interpreted as something flying through, or as a flying ring, and this is interpreted as a point flying through the flying ring. This makes sense, but the other way doesn't make sense. Okay? Then there are, sausage ends. So you know sausages, I know nothing about sausages except the way they look, but sometimes you have sausages that are kind of have a the end of the sausage has a string attached to it. Okay, so you have sausage ends, and am I forgetting something? I might be forgetting something minor, but if I'm forgetting something minor, I will introduce it when I need it. Okay? This deals with the generators, but then there are the relations, but I think I'm out of time, so maybe I will start the next hour by telling you briefly telling you what are all the relations. But I think, okay, sorry. And then what I will really do is I will try to do to these what we did to the U-universe. Okay, so that's my real agenda. Okay, so I'll stop for now.